This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk. We are listening to a conversation between Captain Johan Steinke and his shipmate.
Today I have one of my dearest old shipmates with me, Josh Scornavacci. He is incredibly talented in every way. What was your first sail like on Bounty, your first night out?
The first day sailing on Bounty was actually the best day, or one of the best days I've ever had out on the water. It was my first day sailing in the ocean, and we had just gotten done a big maintenance period in Puerto Rico for a whole month. So I'd been on the boat for a month, but we hadn't sailed at all. I believe it was about a 14-day transit, 12 or 14 days long, long transit for my first transit at sea. And we left Puerto Rico, and the water was beautiful, very clear. You could see pretty far, very blue. Immediately, they were flying fish everywhere, and it was the first time I ever saw them. So that was exciting for me. And they weren't the small ones you see in California. They were like the ones that are about 3 feet long. So big flying fish. They can skip across a football field in like three jumps. It was really cool to see as somebody who went to school for biology and to study animals. That was exciting.
Yeah, it's really hard for people to visualize what they actually look like in real life. Like, I remember I was so impressed. Like, yeah. It's magical. That's why I put them in my second kid's book, because I'm like, they're amazing.
They're crazy.
You just look at it and you're like, this can't be real.
It's a cool thing to talk about. They go so far, it just doesn't look physically possible.
Yeah.
The swish of their tail and their 100 feet of jump, which is amazing. But they were jumping like that because they were being chased by a megapod of common dolphins, which are also really beautiful. So most people know what bottlenose dolphins look like, but common dolphins are smaller and very colorful. They've got yellow and gray and black and all sorts of beautiful patterns. We actually saw a little bit on the way in.
Yeah, I know. Boat. I was concentrating on the channel. So, yeah. For those of you who know, Josh and I just came in on the AJ Meerwald, which is a schooner. So we were talking about the different rigging, the Bounty being a square rigger. Yeah, the square riggers look bigger, even if they're dimensionally not. But yeah, so we were going down the channel, AJ Meerwald. It's a channel I've never been in. Lots of current. I was not concentrating on the freaking dolphins.
They were dolphins.
Lovely guys.
But then we climbed aloft. That was my first time going aloft underway. So I climbed aloft and set the topsail. We went out on the head rigs, set the fore topmast staysail, and we sailed off. And we with the dolphins following and the flying fish.
Johan Steinke is the author of the illustrated children's book, The Greatest Captain in the World. For more information, please visit SailSportTalk.com.
All right, thank you for that. It's Tuesday at 9:40. It's time once again to check in with Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com. Karen, how are we doing today?
I'm doing just fantastic. And how are you doing, Rick?
Not too bad. Let's get to our guest. It is author Stephen Ladd, the author of 3 Years in a 12-Foot Boat. Well, now he has a new book which just came out this spring called The 5-Year Voyage, Exploring Latin American Coasts and Rivers. Stephen, welcome to the show. This time around, you went with your honey bunny, so to speak. So how did that work out?
It worked out quite well. We got married along the way.
Stephen, I was very intrigued by the way in which you set up your boat. You had a 24-foot boat, and you had the mast in kind of two cradles. It's very similar to the dhows. Did you know about how dhows were organized the same way, or was that just something you came up with on your own?
I am familiar with what a dhow is. Our boat was 21 feet long. The picture you looked at may have misled you. Those masts are in their horizontal position. That's not how they go when they're sailing. They're vertical, upright when they're sailing.
Oh, of course. I know. I just meant for when you're... So basically what I'm describing here is that you have a 21-foot boat, and you have... when the masts are not being used, you can put them in like a little... what do you call that?
We call them... believe it or not, we call them bow winkles, because They kind of look like bones of a moose with his horns, but they hold the two masts horizontal and close to the deck, and they not only get the mast out from being straight up, but they are what you drape your awning over. You've got a tent awning that goes over the mast and gives you protection when you're in the cockpit.
So 12-foot boat, that sounds very claustrophobic. That, you know, I think the African Queen was bigger than that, with Hepburn Humphrey Bogart, thank you. I wanted to say Alan Ladd. Humphrey Bogart. So what's it like getting literally cabin fever?
Well, yeah, both these voyages are in small boats. The 3 years in a 12-foot boat, I was by myself in that, so I had about a proportional amount of space in it as I had in with my wife in the 21-footer. But you got to remember that we're not cooped up inside those little cabins. The cabins, they both have cabins just large enough for you to fit into and lay down, but maybe not sit up very well. But, of course, most of the time you're out exploring someplace and you're not actually cooped up. You're going on shore and exploring, or you're in the cockpit sailing. In terms of the ability to carry stuff and... you know, it's limited, but you can carry enough food and water for a week or two, and it's quite nice. It's kind of like camping, hiking, canoeing kind of sports.
Well, and you've been adventuring since you were in high school, having traveled already internationally. So this wanderlust that you have is quite remarkable, sailing throughout South America in the inner rivers. Were you charting this, taking soundings as you went along, or just basically going along with that spirit of adventure to see what comes next?
Yeah, that voyage of Ginny and mine, the five-year one, it kind of evolved by itself. We sailed from Florida down to South America, and then the really unusual part happened, which is that we got into these river systems and realized with the boat that we had reconfigured it, we had modified it for our purposes, that it was really suitable for river travel, and we found that we could travel throughout the rivers of South America. We were in about 20 different rivers, if you count the little tributaries going into the bigger tributaries and so forth. And we were in the Orinoco, the Amazon Basin, many rivers in it, and the Paraguay and the Paraná. And we portaged 13 times to get from one river to another across the headwaters separating the two of them, or to get around a waterfall or a set of rapids or a dam. These portages were just things we negotiated and found to be possible along the way. And so we saw a lot of the South American rivers.
So tell us about are you independently wealthy? Did you live off the land? How were you able to pull this off?
Oh, my wife and I are both just savers and economizers, and we do everything on a shoestring budget, and that's no problem. We deprive ourselves of luxuries that, you know, we might really want to have a cold beer. And we occasionally do. We don't have six of them.
Well, on this voyage, you had to motor a lot of the time in the rivers, I guess. And also, I saw a photograph in your book of you going through a tube and having to squeeze down, you know, so you weren't sitting up too high to squeeze through the tube. Have you ever gotten stuck in something when you were on this voyage?
Well, let's see. No, I can't recall quite getting stuck. I can think of a time. I came out the mouth of the Amazon River. This was after we'd had our baby. The wife and the baby went home by airplane, because sailing out the mouth of the Amazon and through the Atlantic Ocean for a few months would not be wise to have a baby aboard, so it was just soloing at this point. And so I'm coming out the mouth of the Amazon, which is a very vast area, and the water is shallow, even 50 miles out, you'd be 50 miles out, and the muddy bottom is quite close. So I remember going along a few times when land was so far away that it was just barely visible, and yet I ran aground, and which is remarkable in a boat that only draws 6 inches of water. You know, the water was less than 6 inches deep, and that's because the Amazon River flows out, and all its sediment gets swept in a northwesterly direction by these currents, and they cause these shallows, which even me and my boat got stuck in, but I was able to work my way out of it.
So as you're going along, by the way, we are speaking with our guest Stephen Ladd, the book, The Five-Year Voyage, Exploring Latin American Coasts and Rivers. As you're going along, are you making notes for the book, or do you kind of get home and start writing it from scratch?
Jenny and I are both journalists, writers, that is, diarists. And so we have plenty of material to write our blog updates with and to write magazine articles. The installations were published in a magazine. And so we had plenty of material with which to write the book.
You mentioned that you use Google Earth sometimes to be able to look at the areas that you were going into. Of course, Google Earth doesn't, from a satellite view, doesn't give you how deep things are. Did you find yourself taking soundings as you went along and making notes of the topography of the river bottoms and things?
When we got ourselves into the South American rivers, there were no charts of those rivers. There are maps, of course, of those countries, but there's no indication telling you, like, how to go around an island or how to find a town or how to get through when there are lots of different channels in a complicated spaghetti-like pattern. And so we found it possible to, and of course we had no internet connection or cell phone coverage 99% of the time, but in that 1% of the time, when we're in a town of some sort and there is a cyber cafe, we would stop there and laboriously, looking at Google Earth, create our own maps by clicking over the tops of the imagery and then saving our clicks as a data file that is our map that shows up on our GPS. So we followed our own handmade maps to voyage for several years there. And as far as the water depth is concerned, that isn't a concern with such a shallow draft boat. It only draws 6 inches of water. So generally speaking, if you can't see a rock, there isn't anything to worry about hitting.
What would be your greatest moment of peril that you had?
Well, probably the biggest nightmare was when we're off the coast of Colombia, and it had been stormy conditions, well, really just standard headwinds from the northeast trades coming at us, and so, you know, 20 knots and big waves. And see, a small boat like this, you don't really want to spend the night at sea. It's very uncomfortable. It's bobbing like a cork, and so you want to get to some place where there's shelter, like a bay. And however, that isn't always the case, because it may be too far to the next one to make it in a day. So we were getting towards sunset. We had this spot where we were hoping to be able to pull into a little river mouth, but the surf was too big. It looked like we couldn't get in. So I was going back and forth in front of where I knew this river mouth to be, studying the surf. I got too close. A wave washed over, killed the engine, and by the time I was able to anchor us and stabilize the situation, we were really in the surf. And I had to abandon my wife, swim ashore, because I wasn't sure if she could swim through the surf, to get help, pay the guy $15 to come out with his fishing boat and tow us back into a safe situation. So that was uncomfortable for both me and my wife. But we made out all right.
Well, I want to make sure everybody checks it out. It's in paperback, The Five-Year Voyage Exploring Latin American Coasts and Rivers, from the author of 3 Years in a 12-Foot Boat. He knows what he's doing, this time with Ginny and then baby George as well, the author and our guest, Stephen Ladd. Stephen, congratulations on the books, and thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And thank you so much, and thanks to Johann Steinke for the referral. We sure appreciated that.
All right, Karen, and we'll check you out next week. We'll do it again.
Okay, sounds great, Rick. We'll see you next Tuesday.
All right, good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle, and the lines are available. Come on back at 1-800-878-PLAY.